Carl Sabatino with Roland Smith. We are back, and our guest is Commander Chris Hadfield. Welcome to the broadcast, Roland, please.
Commander, again, thanks for staying with us on this. When David Bowie wrote and recorded Space Oddity in 1969, I wonder if he ever imagined it being played and sung in orbit, not only by you, but by anybody. You know, I watched you on the YouTube video once again this morning, and it was great. I still love it.
Yeah, I'm really pleased. That was not an intentional thing. That was just a project that grew. It was my son's suggestion, based on sort of an internet series of requests from all over the world of people that I cover. That once they knew there was a musician up on the space station, they just started asking. And I was against the idea, but just because I never covered Bowie before in my life. But the way it ended up turning out, you know, he probably never did envisage it, but somehow his creativity, and he's such a spark of creativity, he could feel it well enough that when I sang his words, the way the tune rolls together, and
right,
it goes from sort of the dirge and monotony of the start to the high soaring parts in there, my voice sort of picked up a spirit of the place, a feeling of the place. And then we put the instrumentals underneath, and then one Saturday afternoon I went around and filmed the video, and the Canadian Space Agency processed it all. My son put that video together, and it just went crazy. I mean, when you count with rebroadcast, it's hundreds of millions of people.
I know.
Seeing that video. Which
but isn't that, I think that's wonderful.
For a father-son project, it's amazing.
Oh, boy, how true. You know, many years ago, the late John Denver was a very good friend of mine. And he arrived one time when we were meeting to do an interview and talk about some things. And he, at that time, thought he would be able to buy a seat on the Soviet, at that time.
Yeah, on the Soyuz. Yeah,
and the Soyuz. And to do a concert in space with Alexander Grotsky from the Soviet Union. And that was always his great wish. But I think in many ways you have already fulfilled that for the efficacy of music in space.
Well, I mean, I have huge respect for John Denver. When I was learning to play guitar as a kid, of course, his was the popular music, and I learned a lot of songs that he wrote. And I learned a little bit about performing from him. I listened to his philosophy on how to put something into a performance so that you really transmit what you're feeling, so that the performance is not just doing something by rote, but really trying to make it something significant for yourself and therefore for the audience. And it's a shame that he died, in fact, in a plane crash and never got a chance to pursue his dream. But I still play lots of John Denver tunes when I play music.
You know, Chris, though, in many ways he did. In many ways, he did pursue his dream, because he literally passed doing what he loved to do, which was flying.
Yep.
You know, tell us about the latest book you've got going, which is on the bestseller list.
It is. Yeah, it's a New York Times bestseller. It's called "You Are Here: Around the World in 92 Minutes," and on the spaceship. We go around the world 16 times a day. You go right all the way around. The speed's so high, all the way around in 92 minutes. And so if you have a camera in your hands, you can see the world with a perspective and a clarity and from a big, stable platform where you're up there for months at a time that is just kind of unprecedented in human understanding of ourselves. And so I took a lot of pictures, 45,000 pictures while I was up there. And over the last winter, I filtered through them all and tried to choose the best couple hundred, as if we had 92 minutes together and I wanted to go around the world once with you and show you what to look at. This is the really interesting parts of the world, and narrate it and tell you what I thought. And trying to make, and not a big coffee table book, but just an annotated picture book with my comments scrawled in it, of what it would have been like if we'd gone around the world once together. And I'm really pleased with how it came out. So I'm having a chance now to go right across the country and meet people and talk about the uniqueness of the experience and just how important it is to see the whole world as one place.
Well, this weekend you are in Milwaukee, or where will you be?
Yeah, in Milwaukee, Minneapolis and Milwaukee this weekend, and having a chance to meet with folks and going to, and tonight, in fact, at the Boswell Book Company here in Milwaukee to talk with folks, and I'll give a presentation and meet as many people as time will allow.
Well, we're recording on a little bit of delay, so that tonight would be like last Thursday. So, anyway, I want to thank you, Commander, very much for taking the time to help us try to understand what it's like in that most magnificent place of mystery, that the great place when I was a kid like you, space was where you could never go. And I'm so delighted that you and so many like you have been able to be there and share it with us.
Oh, for this 9-year-old boy, it's a dream come true, and I'm glad to do my best to share it with you both.
Thank you, Commander Chris Hadfield.
Chris, thank you so much. This is Carl Sabatino with Roland Smith. This is Smith Sabatino. Stay with us. We're back.
America Weekend.
Order in the court.
This is Attorney Jay Coleman with The Final Verdict. Jen's car was rear-ended while she was stopped at a traffic light. But the car that hit her was also stopped. It was the car behind that one that actually caused the chain reaction. The driver of the first car was uninsured, so Jen sued the driver of the car in the middle, even though it wasn't at fault. Why did she do this? The final verdict after this.
The Movie Man 6-second review starts now.
Finally, a superhero movie for the whole family. Big Hero 6's big adventure, big action, and big fun. I'm in.
On November 14th, the wait is over. Frank and Lloyd are back and dumber than ever. Dumb and Dumber 2, rated PG-13.
It's called joint liability, and as a legal strategy, it makes sense, since concurrent acts caused harm to Jen. Damage from the defendants does not have to be simultaneous. And that's the final verdict.
Where are they now with Ahmad Rashad?
This bus rambled from Notre Dame to the Rams before getting a long-haul trip in Pittsburgh. He retired 5th all-time in yards and 10th in touchdowns, making this Pro Bowler a shoe-in for Canton.
The give to the right, and the bus waits. The bus drives, and the bus gets to the goal line. Touchdown, Pittsburgh!
So where is Jerome Bettis now? Today, the bus has his own TV sports show in Pittsburgh. He's also part owner of 3 minor league baseball teams, founded the Bus 36 charity, wrote a book, and even bowled a 300 game. And if that wasn't enough, he opened Jerome Bettis' Grill 36 in Pittsburgh. You haven't lived till you've tried the cheeseburger soup. I'm Ahmad Rashad.
The Movie Man 6-second review starts now.
Finally, a superhero movie for the whole family. Big Hero 6's big adventure, big action, and big fun. I'm in.
On November 14th, the wait is over. Frank and Lloyd are back and dumber than ever. Dumb and Dumber 2, rated PG-13.